Social Skills Coaching by Patrick King, a Newton Media Group production. Today is October 21st, 2020, a Wednesday. We're confronted from day to day with several different types of thinking. Quick thinking, simple thinking, even easy thinking. But what serves us best, in most cases, should be clear thinking. And it's not all that easy to come across. It takes conscious effort to slow down and be thorough. Most of the time, we lead ourselves to conclusions that, while speedy, are not focused on accuracy. Let's look into this topic in detail from Patrick King's book, The Art of Clear Thinking. What do we mean when we talk about clear thinking? Given a minute or two to consider that question, most of us could come up with a definition related to intelligence. Usually, it depends on our goals at the moment. Some might mix it up with fast thinking, where that happens automatically and often outside of our consciousness. Speed is prized over accuracy. They see a certain object or situation and immediately draw a conclusion based on their own past experience out of urgency. Others might confuse it with reactionary thinking, which sounds like, my instincts are telling me this. It's establishing a belief based on an emotional hunch, which isn't thinking at all. Or, possibly, clear thinking is mixed up with simple thinking. Here, concepts that are easy to grasp are closer to the truth than more complicated ideas. This might happen because a clear solution is desired, and too much information can muddy the waters. On the other hand, the opposite confusion can hold true where a clear thinking is seen as complicated thinking, analyzing every single bit of information, supporting and opposing, no matter how insignificant or questionable their sources may be. All of us have practiced those kinds of thinking in the past and may have had confidence in our convictions based on them. Maybe, even once or twice, we've been right when using them, although it's probably the real-life equivalent of a stopped clock being correct twice a day. Fast and reactionary thinking will help you when a car is hurtling your way and you aren't sure which way to leap. Any direction is fine as long as it's safe. Simple thinking will help you when certainty is more valued than accuracy. Complicated thinking will help you when pedantry and accuracy are valued more than speed. But none of those mental models will reliably help you understand, learn about, and determine the truth of what's right in front of you. Clear thinking is reasoning, determination based on evidence, critical analysis, and simply following the trail of cookie crumbs where it leads, not where you want it to lead or where you think it should lead. It emphasizes trying to find the objective truth and not being led astray by what we see at first glance. It's the magnifying glass that shows the important details that make all the difference, while tuning out those that are red herrings. Adapting to clear thinking on a regular, practice basis will help you become more understanding, perceptive, and insightful. Committing yourself to a deliberate and unbiased way of thinking is not necessarily about doing better in school or at your job, though it certainly aids with those pursuits. It's mostly about viewing the world for what it is and being able to discern the naked truth of what you see. There are elements of thinking like a scientist, gaining self-awareness of your own biases, and learning to be strict with yourself. It can be difficult, but you just may realize how flawed your thinking has been in the past. Not everybody comes out of the womb thinking with crystal clarity, but everybody has the capacity to gain it as a habit. This book intends to offer a set of principles and practices that will help you think more honestly and rationally. I hope to present clear thinking as a core component of your life that you need to instill. It's a skill that will reward you in virtually all aspects of your waking life. It's how you solve for actual solutions to your problems instead of hoping that the clock happens to be right. The first aspect of crystal clear thinking is intellectual honesty, which is when you're honest with yourself and others, and your first obligation is to the pursuit of truth rather than any other motive. We frequently lie to others when we want to protect ourselves from their judgment. For instance, if someone makes fun of your writing skills, you'll utter an excuse about how you were distracted, lazy, or not putting in your full effort. Also, your computer was on the fritz that day, so you couldn't perform any editing. Sure. This type of reaction is not intellectually honest, but it's understandable and natural. But what happens when you begin to tell the same lies to yourself, and you're unable to tell where the truth begins or ends? What if you start to believe that you're an undiscovered Ernest Hemingway, but for your laziness and broken keyboard? That is the true risk with a lack of intellectual honesty, and it presents a huge obstacle to clarity of thought and staying rooted in reality. The armored ego. As you just saw with the example about your writing prowess, protecting yourself from others is often the reason we are intellectually dishonest. In fact, the first barrier in almost any kind of self-improvement comes from the ego's need to protect itself. Sometimes our thinking is erroneous because we don't see all the factors involved in a situation, or we're too hasty to jump to a conclusion. Those are errors in observation or perception. But those reasons pale in comparison to the ego's power to distort your thinking. Someone who's underperforming at work might feel the need to protect their perceived skills and talent by deflecting responsibility to "the boss has always had it in for me." And who trained me? Him. It's all his fault, one way or another. Someone who trips and falls, yet fancies themselves graceful, will blame the fact that it rained 6 days ago, their shoes have no grip, and who put that rock there anyway? Someone who fails to make the school basketball team will grumble that the coach hated them. They weren't used to that particular style of play, and they didn't really want to make the team anyway. This is what it sounds like when the ego steps in to protect itself. There's so much justification and deflecting going on that it's difficult to know what is real and what is not. Clear thinking becomes impossible. This all stems from the universal truth that nobody likes to be wrong or to fail. It's embarrassing and confirms all of our worst anxieties about ourselves. Instead of accepting being wrong as a teachable moment or lesson, our first instinct is to run from our shame and cower in the corner. This is the same reason we will persist in an argument to the death, even if we know we are 100% wrong. If the ego had a physical manifestation, it would be sizable, sensitive, and heavily armored, to the point of going on the offensive. Essentially, a giant porcupine. When the ego senses danger, it has no interest or time to consider the facts. Instead, it seeks to alleviate your discomfort in the quickest way possible. And that means you lie to yourself so you can keep the ego safe and sound. We try to cover up the truth, deflect attention from it, or develop an alternative version that makes the actual truth seem less hurtful. And it's right in that moment that intellectual dishonesty is born. Are any of those convoluted theories likely to withstand any amount of scrutiny? Probably not. But the problem is that the ego doesn't allow for acknowledgement and analysis of what really happened. It blinds you. Let's be clear, these aren't lies that you dream up or concoct in advance. You don't intend to lie to yourself. You don't even feel they're lies. You may not even know you're doing it, as sometimes these defense mechanisms can occur unconsciously. They're not explicitly intellectually dishonest because you want to delude yourself. Rather, they're automatic strategies that the constantly neurotic ego puts into action because it's terrified of looking foolish or wrong. Unfortunately, that's the worst zone to be in, as it means you don't know what you don't know. Over time, these ego-driven errors in thinking inform your entire belief system and give you rationalized justifications for almost everything. You never make any sports team because the coaches always hate you, and you keep failing the driving test because your hand-eye coordination is uniquely special. These lies become your entire reality, and you rely on them to get yourself through problematic situations or to dismiss efforts to find the truth. We're not talking about just giving excuses for why you aren't a violin virtuoso. This manner of thinking can become the factors that drive your decisions, thinking, and evaluations of anything and anyone. Let's take Fred. Fred was an ardent fan of a pop star his whole life. He grew up listening to their music and formed a lot of his identity around his admiration for him. We're talking an entire bedroom wall filled with posters of this star, and outfits that were replicas of this star's clothes hanging in his closet. Late in his career, this pop star was put on trial for a serious crime. Fred steadfastly stood by his pop star idol, even as lurid details of his case were reported by courtroom reporters to the press. "Nobody I admire this way would ever be guilty of this," Fred said. "It's all just a conspiracy put together by the people who resent him for whatever reason." The pop star was ultimately found guilty and sentenced to multiple years in prison. Fred had showed up outside the courthouse bearing a sign that protested his star's innocence. Even as compelling evidence was eventually released to the press, Fred maintained that the pop star was absolutely innocent, dismissing all of the victims' claims by protesting that they were jealous and just trying to get the spotlight themselves. Why would Fred continue to insist, against all reasonable and provable evidence, that his idol was innocent? Because his ego was so wrapped up in his worship of the pop star that it was predisposed to consider him blameless. For him to believe the truth would have meant a devastating blow to almost everything he believed in. "I worship a criminal? What does that say about me?" And the ego wasn't going to let that happen for a minute, even if it meant making him deny what was fairly compelling and unshakable proof that the star was guilty. In your pursuit of truth and clear thought, your ego will rear its ugly head like the enraged porcupine. It has set up a series of tactical barriers to keep you from learning something that might upset your belief system, and it is only after you can rein in your ego that you are open to learning. After all, you can't defend yourself and listen at the same time. Defense mechanisms are the specific ways we protect our ego, pride, and self-esteem. These methods keep us whole when times are tough. The origin of the term comes from Sigmund Freud. You just might recognize the two defense mechanisms put forth by his daughter, Anna Freud: denial and rationalization. Denial is one of the most classic defense mechanisms because it is easy to use. Suppose you discover that you are performing poorly at your job. "No, I don't believe that report ranking all of the employees. There's no way I can be last. Not in this world. The computer added up the scores incorrectly." What is true is simply claimed to be false, as if that makes everything go away. You're acting as if a negative fact doesn't exist. Sometimes we don't realize when we do this, especially in situations that are so dire they actually appear fantastical to us. All you have to do is say no often enough and you might begin to believe yourself, and that's where the appeal of denial lies. You're actually changing your reality, where other defense mechanisms merely spin it to be more acceptable. This is actually the most dangerous defense mechanism, because even if there is a dire problem, it is ignored and never fixed. If someone continued to persist in the belief they were an excellent driver, despite a string of accidents in the past year, it's unlikely they would ever seek to practice their driving skills. Rationalization is when you explain away something negative. It is the art of making excuses. The bad behavior or fact still remains, but it's turned into something unavoidable because of circumstances out of your control. The bottom line is anything negative is not your fault and you shouldn't be held accountable for it. It's never a besmirching of your abilities. It's extremely convenient and you are only limited by your imagination. Building on the same prior example of poor job performance, this is easily explained away by the following: your boss secretly hating you, your coworkers plotting against you, the computer being biased against your soft skills, unpredictable traffic affecting your commute, and having two jobs at once. These flimsy excuses are what your ego needs to protect itself. Rationalization is the embodiment of the sour grapes fable. A fox wanted to reach some grapes at the top of a bush, but he couldn't leap high enough. To make himself feel better about his lack of leaping ability, and to comfort himself about his lack of grapes, he told himself the grapes looked sour anyway, so he wasn't missing out on anything. He was still hungry, but he'd rather be hungry than admit his failure. Rationalization can also help us feel at peace with poor decisions we've made with phrases such as, "It was going to happen at some point anyway." Rationalization ensures you never have to face failure, rejection, or negativity. It's always someone else's fault. While comforting, Where do reality and truth go amidst all of this? Out the window, mostly. Intellectual honesty requires you to first defeat your natural tendencies to be dishonest. Thoughts dictated by self-protection don't overlap with clear objective thoughts. Please take a moment to review the show notes for this episode, where you'll find a link to the Audible book, The Art of Clear Thinking: Mental Models for Better Reasoning, Judgment, Analysis, and Learning. Upgrade your intellectual toolkit by Patrick King. You'll also find a link to Patrick King's site at bit.ly/PK Consulting, where you can request your free copy of his free mini ebook on conversational tactics. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you Friday.